We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and as usual, get ready to do the show. And Addy's asking me, he's like, you bring in anything to the show? You bring in any news or any games or anything like that this week? And I told him, I said, all I'm going to bring is a bad attitude, a bad mood, bad temper, and a foul mouth. And then something happened.
Yeah, you got bad body odor.
That made my day much better.
Ah, yes.
Happy days are here again. The skies are...
We're stopping. The
singing. World is free from TNA. Yeah. So, I mean, full disclosure, people ask, you know, people, do you have an agenda, right? Are you a WWE guy? Are you a TNA guy? Do you have an agenda? I do have an agenda.
Yeah.
I don't mind saying I don't like TNA.
No?
No. I don't like WWE either, but I don't like TNA.
I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah, that's about it, really. And... You know, I mean, a lot of people, they get upset. They take it personal if you say something about their company.
Yes.
Like they own it or they're involved in it.
And I'm okay with that, because if you're a TNA supporter, you can fuck yourself.
But thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And come back next week.
Right. After you've finished fucking yourself.
Yeah, we should take a week.
Yeah.
Unless you're very flexible.
It's true.
Then it will be much quicker.
Yes. But yes... So the breaking news before we get on the day's news comes with the announcement of Ring of Honor on Destination America starting a week from today.
Yes, it's very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The syndicated TV show that's a part of their Sinclair network is now going to be available as the lead-in to ROH. I don't know, I've heard...
TNA.
To TNA. And maybe on after? Is it on after?
There's been rumors that it's going to bookend it, but that is not yet confirmed.
Mm. We should ask Kelly Kelly.
We should.
She's used to being bookended.
That's true. That's true. And her cunt is firm.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. You said to confirm. Super Bowl Saturday? I don't even know! But yeah, so the move came, the news started was, broke with Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer that last week, after we did our show, that TNA had been cancelled, essentially, not renewed. I don't give a fuck what wording you want to use.
It's cancelled. Eric Young. September.
But yeah, as of September is when... Essentially, they have the option to renew it, and they have chose not to exercise said option.
Yeah, Destination America said no. But that doesn't mean that if ratings increase, that they couldn't
right.
change their mind.
So it's a no.
Or it's you know, it's still in play, was the words that Meltzer used. Right? Because he was fair. Like, which is one of the things that's hilarious, because then on Twitter, all these people going, well, there's Dave Meltzer, who wants TNA out of business, and he's talking bad about them again, and spreading rumors and lies.
Yes.
Which is not what he does.
No, but also the exact same things that were said about Dave Meltzer with WCW.
Or when the thing with Spike TV happened, and canceling
yes.
and moving, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, everybody's accusing, all these people are defending TNA. So they're taking it personally. They're like, he hates them, and then he's spreading all these lies and stuff like that. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so if the guy reports the truth, and yes. the truth is negative,
yes.
and tries to give a full broadside of it, but you don't like it, and you hear something, and you don't read it, he's a fuck.
Yeah.
Which is, he doesn't want TNA to go to business. Like he said, he has friends working there. Mike Tenay's a good friend of his.
Yeah.
He has, and you know, he wants everybody to be successful. It's more money for yeah. him if people are interested
in wrestling. He's not like us.
No, that's my point. I want TNA to go out of business. And
I just want to stop the insanity.
Well, that's exactly it. I want to feel like there's justice in the world. If you...
Hardcore justice?
If you have a wrestling company and you make stupid move after stupid move, insult your fans, insult your network, and put on bad television, even though apparently it's not that bad right now, but put on bad television for generally years... I want to feel like there's justice. I want to feel like there's justice in this world
yes.
for bad behavior, that those people get what they deserve. And you deserve to be out of business based on how you've run your company.
Yes.
Letting Vince take it. You had a company in Scott D'Amore that when they hired Vince Russo, at the time it was doing really solid pay-per-view buys, 30 to 40,000 most
shows. I should add the second time.
Yeah, the second time after he'd already been there. You're doing 30 to 40,000 pay-per-view buys. Your ratings are fairly solid. Everybody's raving about your show. It's got some momentum. The crowd is hot in Orlando for your show. People are constantly talking about what a great pay-per-view it is and what a great alternative it is to the WWE. So you have this, and then you instead hire Vince Russo and keep him around for like 8 years.
Yeah.
And you, despite him fucking up left and right because he's a fuck.
Yes.
And then... Not to mention all the other things you do.
Well, and exacerbated by lying to the company or to your television partner who's paid millions of dollars for you to get Kurt Angle and Sting and Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
And Hulk Hogan and such.
And increase your television product as far as the look of the show. And when you're going on the road, they were covering a lot of those expenses. All this stuff.
Yeah.
And you lie to them. Like you say, yeah, so why... Why would somebody want TNA to go out of business? If you love wrestling, why would you want that company to go out of business? It's about justice in the world. It's not just about wrestling.
My question is, if you love wrestling, why don't you want this company to go out of business? Especially when there are multiple other viable alternatives that, as I said, they talk about...
And right now there is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that it's not like it's now it's only WWE. And we'll intertwine all this, and we'll touch on this... quickly, and then we'll get back to it. But part of that intertwinement now involves NXT.
Yes,
and the ability with Samoa Joe's contract is opening the door to others.
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah, to come in and be an truly an independent contractor.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of an independent contractor just in title.
In title only.
Yeah, yeah. But with actually no. Yeah. So I mean, again, this is. A company that goes and drug tests its employees, goes by and tells everybody, like 90% of the employees, that you failed, and that's the only follow-up that you have.
Yes.
That continues to allow chair shots to the head far after everybody else has gotten rid of them.
Yep.
Except for ROH, actually, who only recently is... I think ROH got rid of them first, but has since then, on occasion, still allowed them.
Yes.
But they didn't get rid of them first. But yeah, I mean, you're allowed to continue to allow that after the concussions and the evidence with the Benoit and everything. Like, there's so many reasons that these people deserve what's coming to them.
Wait, Benoit,
and they're not out of business yet, but... they're not out of business yet, but look, we've said it for a while, and you can say it more than ever. It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna happen.
It is. And I've got champagne on ice.
You bet.
And, quite the pardooky we shall have.
Yeah, we may have guests that day.
We will definitely have guests. Samoa Joe will be on. For sure.
But yes.
I mean, so Here's the thing. So that all starts with this thing, and now it's all Lion and shit. You know, all these.
Well, even this last week, right? Again, Meltzer goes and reports this. Meltzer did go to Dixie for a response before he published it. He held off for a little bit. Then finally, he goes forward with it. Then she accuses him of lying and filling out false reports, and threatens to sue him.
Yes.
But you have no legal case, and then it comes out that what he said is true.
Yes.
Again, you look bad. Yes. Why do you want them to go out of business? Another example, just this last week.
Yes.
And it's karma.
It is, and she's there too.
Yeah.
But I look at now, okay, so you do this, and it's now that the choice is to move it to Wednesdays. So that's the timeline of events, is that they're looking at they're getting canceled, and then the announcement that they're moving to Wednesday. Still to be canceled, but just they've just changed the night on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So now today, ROH is going to be the lead-in for them, which leads me to...
The question, of course, begs for people might be asking, why the hell does a company that doesn't want TNA want another company if they're canceling one? Then it's why if they're having trouble selling advertising on the one show, which is why they're going to cancel them.
Yes.
Why would you want the next one? Because I've watched ROH. I've seen on the Sinclair Network. I've seen the commercials on there. Looks to me like they have trouble selling advertising as well.
Yes, that's very true. But I think again it comes down to now it's the business models of the two companies.
Yeah.
Where Sinclair has their syndicated program. And that's what's helping to sell. There's no additional cost to Ring of Honor.
No, it's great for them. It's just exposure and money.
It is basically the same show, as you said, is going to be now on Wednesday on Destination America that's syndicated throughout the country
will be seeing like on the weekend.
Say Saturday or Sunday, yeah. Right? Yeah. So what that means is no additional cost to Ring of Honor. They don't have to do another show. And now Destination America can pay a lot less to Ring of Honor than they do to TNA, and so that way when they're having trouble selling ads, there's a break even point where it's going to be worth it.
Yeah,
we want the viewership for our overall network available.
We get these numbers, people on, right? We get 400,000 viewers or whatever they get for TNA. They think you get about the same.
Yeah,
then you can push some of your other shows only getting 120,000 viewers.
Exactly, it makes sense. Plus, they can pay less money, and ROH can take less money because they don't have the same cost. Whereas the TNA, this is their life fucking blood.
Well, they do have. I mean, TNA is still worldwide bigger. Still worldwide, probably the third or second biggest because they have. They're in countries like India, and they have a really solid deal in places like Germany. I think it was Germany, and then certainly in England and things like that. So worldwide, they're still much bigger than ROH. I mean, it's not even, you know.
They've been getting shows canceled, replays and such canceled in places, though, too, in the Germany.
Well, it's going to happen eventually, yeah. But essentially, though, if you can't make a go of it in America, you're fucked. Like, it doesn't matter how good your international deals will be.
Because at the same time, again, what are you going to... Yeah, I mean, you can't grow, right? So so that's the thing. So ROH now leading in, if not bookending it. Again, I go back to the United Talent Agency that brokered this deal for TNA. When they said, you remember, we were making fun of them because they're not going to get shit, and then they're going to have to pay whatever it was.
30% on top or whatever.
Well, these fuckers at United Talent Agency, I mean, they went out and brokered a non-exclusivity deal.
It's unbelievable.
With Destination fucking America. If you were brokering this with CBS or with Spike or with any other major television station.
Well, let's put it this way. WWE, in order to... Why is the UFC big and why does UFC exist and isn't out of business?
Yeah.
Because UFC got a spike and they followed WWE. Yeah. And because they went to Vince and said, can we follow? Vince had the right to turn away UFC. But he said, oh, they're not competition. They do a different thing.
Yeah.
Which was a mistake.
Yes.
Because they were competition and people did stick around and they took away pay-per-view buys from them.
Yes.
But he thought they weren't competition. But it's the same thing. They couldn't... That directly wasn't even wrestling. Right. And he had the right of refusal.
Exactly.
Whereas TNA... I mean, my sister 25 years ago had a health food store, and she was like not a chain or anything. She had a right of refusal to make sure any other health food store could come into her strip mall. It's common.
Yes,
you don't have to. This is not. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out.
Nobody just made this up now.
No, this is not something new.
And Dixie's sitting at her computer at home right now listening to us going, what are you talking about?
Dixie knows how to use a computer.
That's true. That's true. She's, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like it's exclusive.
That's true.
But I think that, yeah, so they brokered a fucking non-exclusive television deal that now is allowed Ring of Honor to put on. The bonus to me, I mean, again, this is on fucking Destination America, so it's not like anybody's seeing it.
Well, again, if they were doing 400,000 viewers before, it would probably be a similar number.
It's interesting in the, to me at least, that now I'm going to be, like, this is kind of the fight now. The fight for number two is what are the ratings going to look like between the two shows?
Head to head. It'll be very interesting.
Well, yeah, one after another. Who's getting stronger? Are they losing audience? Are they gaining audience? It just, and then what does Destination America do then? Obviously, people think that, oh, well, whichever one gets more viewers are going to keep. No. It's whichever one costs them less.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to keep. And that's the ROH advantage, again, is that this is not their bread and butter, and it's TNA's bread and butter. So
ROH people like. People, they have a good vibe. They have positive momentum. And this is a company, let's put it this way. ROH is a company that started off, going in front of 300-400 people in a gym.
Yeah. Murphy Rick.
Yeah.
Day one.
Yeah, exactly. Then they built it up to being in front of like 600 to 800 people.
Yeah.
Then 1,000 people, and then now they're like between 1,000 and 1,200, and they're selling out.
They're selling out 1,200.
TNA is a company that tried to go to 10,000 seat arenas, yes. Couldn't. Then they went to 5,000,
yeah,
couldn't sell those. Then they went to 1,500, and they couldn't sell those out.
Yes.
And then they were at like 800, and they couldn't sell those out. So these are the trajectories. Like one of these is a company that people feel good about, has a positive vibe. It doesn't have to stink about it. It's just a slow build. They're doing it the right way. I mean, Sinclair doesn't really care about them being number two as much as you'd think. If they did, they probably could really aggressively go after that spot.
Yes.
But that's not what they do. But because of that, they're forced to grow slowly, and they continue to grow. And this is another step in the right direction, just kind of a little momentum build. Yeah. So you have a company that, I mean, sure, TNA has more stars, and TNA has a two-hour block compared to 1 hour.
Right.
They're on technically a better time slot. They're prime time, 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
They have established audience base already with that network.
I think 8 o'clock is still considered prime time.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I think it is. I think it's 8 to 10.
Is it 8 to 10? I thought it was 9 to 11, but whatever. It's not like I work in the television industry or anything.
No, why would you know?
Again, you have, like, it's, so, I mean, to say that, you know, like, who's going to win, it's different. Like, it's a very different thing. There are some people that already will have seen ROH on Sinclair. Like, they're not an apples-to-apples comparison, even though they're two wrestling companies on the same night.
No, ROH will be seen by more people in North America.
Absolutely.
More people between the shows. Again,
they'll probably be up to about 800,000 people now watching the product.
Yes.
Whereas at the end on Spike TV, they were doing like 1.1 million on Spike for TNA.
Yeah.
And NXT at the end of its run on Sci-Fi was doing about 900,000.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're not talking about bad numbers, but we're also talking from, I mean, you got about 2.8 million watching SmackDown and about 3.8 million watching Raw.
Right.
Million watching Raw. So, I mean, you're still, like, distant, right?
Oh, you're way.
But it's in the right direction.
That's the thing. And I'd like to take this time just to digress for a minute to say, before we move on, to say, fuck Kane. I just think, again, ROH being positioned this way, it is really smart. They're going to move their pay-per-views to Fridays now.
Yes.
So that they can have the Destination America show will be literally a go-home show on the Wednesdays for the Fridays.
Yeah.
And then their syndicated will be sort of a week out, and then it'll be a new fresh show on the Saturday.
Okay, is there any more news that we want to talk about this, and any news that we haven't gotten out there yet? Because there's another angle I want to come back to analyze this.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's any other. I mean, other than to say that this... these two things that have been happening right now with TNA and with Ring of Honor, while not a coincidence, the story breaking from Meltzer about the cancellation of the show, you know, absolutely is a coincidence. This ROH thing has been going on for months.
Yeah. So yeah, this isn't something new. Though nobody knew about it. And a lot of the TNA employees are like upset. Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us?
Dixie didn't fucking know.
They didn't know. No, they didn't fucking know. Why would they know?
Yeah. Dixie Carter knows anything?
No, obviously not.
So,
They don't know. So, you can't blame them for that. I think that's a little, but
well, you
again,
can blame them for it. Absolutely. No, you could. Yeah, you can. And I do. Because if you're in a business there, you fucking know what's going on.
Well, if you're in a business there, the fact is that, like you say, you have the exclusivity contract, so it's not even a possibility.
And if you don't, you have to keep your ear to the ground and keep abreast of what's happening in the fucking industry.
But very few people, like three people in ROH knew, and like three people in Destination America knew, is not something that was really out there that way. So
yeah, no.
But, so, but again... is there anything else you want to talk about the news-wise about it?
Dixie's a cunt? I think that might be it.
it's karma. Dixie has, like I say, she's lied and she's...
Awesome karma.
You know, it really is.
So what's the angle you'd like to take?
Well, I don't give a shit about... give a shit about Dixie.
Oh.
I don't care about Sinclair.
Sinclair in here now.
I don't care about the McMahons. The only things I care about, the only thing that to me this matters, this ROH thing, that to me, not to Mina.
Snuka?
No. Oh. The only thing that matters to me is what does it mean for the wrestlers, the boys, the performers, the superstars, whatever you want to call them?
Superstars.
And what does it mean for the fans? So let's go through first and go, what does this mean for the wrestlers of TNA, ROH, and the guys in the indies?
Well, what I think...
Or guys even in the WWE who are ready to leave. What does this mean for everybody?
Well, honestly, what I think it means for ROH, I think they're going to get more contracts. You're going to have more... Essentially, we'll call it for ROH job security. I don't know if it's going to necessarily mean any more money, but job security, and that they're going to have to... They're going to want to tie in their talent a little bit more.
There was a point where they were tying in a lot of their talent, and then they kind of stopped.
Yeah.
So they might have incentive to tie them in again now.
Yeah.
We don't know how does ROH view or is viewed by WWE. The dumbest thing WWE would ever do would be put them out of business because, again, look at their roster. Daniel Bryan, Cesaro,
Rollins,
Kevin Steen now, Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn. It's just loaded with guys who came from there.
Yeah.
And are stars. So you don't want to fuck with that. Like, it's been such a great feeder system, and you're so far ahead that you don't want to fuck with that.
It's a lot like ECW, and that, you know, it was not in WWE's best interest for ECW to go out of business in the late 90s, just the same as ROH now.
So now you talk about them locking in the guys. Again, they have more money. Does that mean they'll go towards the guys? Does it mean they'll go towards production?
Well, they did get the new lighting grid.
Yeah, they got that previously.
I don't know if they got it previously. I mean,
they might have known this was coming. They might have known this was coming.
They absolutely knew.
It does help that they got the... Yeah, it does help the look of their television. But again, is it... Like, what are they going to put it towards, if anything? Like I say, Sinclair is not interested in trying to make this number two. Joe Koff will make it number two because he'll keep working it and he's improving it and it's getting better. Like I say, kind of, it's a very slow build, mind you.
Yeah, but I mean, he's driven and motivated like his brother Jack.
Jack Koff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think... So for the talent, I think that's good in terms of security, right? You're growing ROH, right? So that's good for... And, I mean, you're talking about indie talent or things or people that want to leave. You have more incentive to go there to Ring of Honor because it's a company on the rise.
It's right? a company it's on not, the rise.
It's a lot like NXT.
No, I'll tell you the truth. It's not. I don't think it's like NXT.
Well, I mean, on the
rise. I'll tell you what it is. Or has the potential to be now. What TNA was before Vince Russo came back and fucked it up again.
Yes.
When guys like Kurt Angle and Christian were leaving to go there,
And the Dudleys.
It was a company on the rise.
Yeah.
Especially when Christian left.
Staying the Dudleys.
The Dudleys. That they left, especially Christian's the biggest one. Like, as far as a guy who seemed to be on the rise where he was and chose to go to the other place because he felt like maybe he had plateaued and this was a company on the rise.
Yeah.
Then Russo came in there and fucked everything up because he's an idiot and can't book shit.
Fuck Russo.
Yeah. But, like, that was a company on the rise. And that was when it was the right time for them to make a move. Yeah. They fucked it up because they're dumb and Dixie sucks.
Yeah.
But. Again, yeah, I mean, this is a situation like that now, where it's a company on the rise, where people will want to be there, theoretically. One of the things that we don't know, again, is TNA going to be gone from there? Probably. When they are they going to be, will they go someplace else? It's hard to imagine.
That's tough. Canceled once, but canceled twice. And some of these stories are going to start coming out, and I don't really know any of the details, so I won't get into them here, but there are stories out there of the reason that Destination America and TNA aren't exactly close buddies right now, and it's because of things that the TNA has either refused to do or asked of Destination America that... Quite frankly,
Destination America is involved in the booking and doing things that TNA doesn't like either, and forcing them to go in directions they don't want to go.
No, but
one of the things that TNA has had
the gall to do is just those are the things that are going to start coming out that are mind boggling and just that,
well, but
that, but that's
here's
gonna
a,
be the
but
reason
here's
that
a good example come. Though. I mean, if you heard this story, I'm sure you probably have. To be Dixie Carter, she sent out an email to her employees complaining about Destination America, calling them stupid.
Yes.
And CC'd in one of the people at Destination America.
Yeah.
Like,
Oops.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
That, you know, eventually people aren't going to want to work with you. Plus, they're like,
eventually. No, but that's enough.
But again, all this also, you have still Global Force Wrestling out there looking for a deal, or maybe they have a deal, but that's someplace else they can't go. Plus, how does this affect them in competition if when TNA goes out and it's ROH in them? Like they're a wild card still kind of sitting there. I personally am not excited for the product because I look at a lot of the roster and went, those are a lot of guys that WWE should have grabbed for depth, mm-hmm. but they're nobody you can build a company around.
Right.
That's kind of how I look at them. But
yeah, it
but there's somebody else out there and that's a weird thing. They were in talks probably with Destination America.
Who? Global Force? Yeah, they were.
Yeah. And then Spike TV and Fox Sportsnet and all that stuff.
You're right with Global Force. I think it's GFW, but I think it should be GHW in a good hand wrestling. They have a whole bunch of really good hands.
Yeah, but they don't have a star.
But they do not have a star.
No, they really don't. They're just, like I said, they have a lot of guys that I'm like, I wish he had gone back to WWE. Chris Masters, I wish he'd gone back to WWE. Yeah. David Lee Smith. All these guys, because it would freshen up their roster, which is so thin.
Well, maybe not David Boy Smith.
Junior.
Oh, Junior.
Because it would freshen up your roster, which is so thin. But as far as you being...
Are you jealous?
As far as you being like the centerpieces of a company over here, I just don't see how that's going to happen. So
you being thin? Oh, the centerpiece is a company. Sorry, I misheard.
I don't even know. You're a fucker. Anyways. So Global Force Wrestling, does it affect their ability to get on TV? Maybe. Does it affect TNA? That's a weird thing that we're going to see play out. When TNA is gone, will Destination America be happy still getting the syndicated show that's 1 hour? Or will they want 2 hours? Will that force them to do another show that's 2 hours or to add an hour? And will that hour, 1 hour, be exclusive? These type of things, we don't know. If they do that, are they going to have to increase their roster? Is that going to create more jobs?
Those are all X-factors.
There's so many things in play here.
Given right now, though, and I'll say this. Given right now, the reason that ROH is there. So as of right now, the answer to that question is no. Because ROH is the cheaper product. And that's really why they're there.
Yeah.
Is because it's a cheaper product. So when you talk about, are you going to And ROH doesn't need Destination.
But if they want to, again, but if they want to pay for it, do if they want that second hour,
right?
Do you say no?
No, yeah, no. They Destination America doesn't do that because the whole fucking reason that ROH is on is because Destination America can't afford to pay the fucking peanuts it's paying TNA because it can't sell the ads to recoup that, regardless of how many hundreds of thousands of people are watching. So for them to put ROH on and say we want another hour, ROH can walk away because they don't need that show because they already have all the syndication. Where TNA
well, they
can't
still need
walk
the
away.
Show.
No, TNA, they don't need the show. No, they don't need the show.
Yeah, they do.
TNA needs no. ROH does not need this show.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. How do well, they need the show? Okay,
well,
so
they're not.
So Destination America got canceled and ROH is fucked.
No, no.
No, they don't need the fucking show.
Yeah,
TNA needs the show. Right. If TNA is canceled, they're fucked.
Are you okay there? Are you
right? Fuck!
Okay?
Fuck!
Yeah, right?
Ah!
Get it out of your system? No, ROH needs a show because ROH wasn't really, it isn't essentially a hugely profitable company. This is a chance to
true.
Make it profitable.
Very true.
That's why they need the show.
They need the show. No, but they don't need to. Well, here, I'll even back that. I'll leave levels there. But
I know, that's where you're yelling.
They don't need the show like TNA needs the show.
No, they don't need it like
TNA
does.
And they don't need the show enough that they're going to go into Hawk to produce a second hour of television. And so for them to produce a second hour of television, then here's the situation. For them to produce a second hour of television, Destination America is going to have to pay ROH the same amount that they were paying TNA to produce that second hour of television. Maybe a little bit less.
No, but to produce a second hour of television.
And they're not going to do that. And so then they're not going to...
No, that's where you're wrong. Because
and they can't pay the ads to recoup
because,
it. It's just
no,
it's money.
No, that's where you're wrong. And this is... Think about it. Why did the WWE go from 2 hours to three? Because adding that that third hour of production is very minimal cost for the pay that you're going to get. Like they're already producing television. They're already setting up the ring. They're already setting up the lights. They're already doing
there
all
is that.
That
yes.
Right? So the actual cost of producing that extra hour is not a lot. Now, if they have to run more shows, it is. But it depends on what the they get paid, and depends on,
yeah.
on what they draw as a house. But as far as you know, or whether or not they just want to make how it depends on how they package the show. They can do things like package the show and make it 2 hours, and still not increase the time in ring. They can do more packages outside of the ring, all that type of stuff. That's a minimal cost. There's a lot of ways to look at this. You're looking at this in a very
I just think that
tunnel vision way.
No, it's not a
whereas
tunnel
if you
vision,
look at this in a lateral
it's
way,
money.
It's not. It is money, and the money you would get paid, and depending on the cost, you're thinking of it as a starting a new show. And I agree, starting a new show would not be worth the money.
But
that's not what they have to do.
It's not starting a new show so much as it's just the. It's the cost of, like you said, is there going to be, do they need to increase their roster? You know, what's the overhead involved in adding more?
Well, they don't pay their roster a lot.
Well, no, they don't. They don't.
You know?
But
and when they increase it, I'm not talking
double.
You know, like
they're going to get a lot. So.
When we're talking about increasing the roster, we're not talking about doubling it. You're talking about, you know, maybe if TNA has 30 people, they'll take 8 of them. Whereas right now they might take none. You know, that type of thing.
Well,
like,
yeah.
We're not talking.
I don't know. I don't see it being cost effective to go 2 hours.
I'm not so sure. It does depend on what Destination America wants to do. Destination America, for instance, might have a much easier time selling a 2 hour block of advertising than 1 hour. Maybe that's one thing, one of their incentives for wanting to continue this.
I wouldn't think that that's true only because if you remember, the Raw is War in the War Zone.
Yeah,
to go back that far, and those were 1 hour blocks. So.
That was a while ago, though.
It was, but that's
different situation. It's a different, it's a completely different cable market.
Well, it is, but I just the way I look at it is that would be the reason that I think that wouldn't be the case. Because even Raw, all 3 hours are separate shows.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So
but that's so that they can show so that they have 3 hours, three shows that hit the top 10 for the ratings. That's why they
no,
do.
No, that's also advertising, though. That's all I don't know. Because at USA, if it wasn't, then they wouldn't care enough to do that.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
The top 10.
Yeah. WWE, but it's WWE that wants to do that. WWE
yes.
wants to say, we hit the top 10 this week 3 times. Or 5 times, or whatever, when SmackDown.
This
like,
year.
That's what, yeah. Yeah.
In the year.
Well, no, they still, like this last week, they hit 3.8 million. That's still the second highest rated show of the night. And top 10 for cable for the week.
Yeah.
So
that's sad. But I think, yeah, that's the Destination America story right now. It's going to be very interesting. This is going to be the summer, really.
Yeah.
You know, ROH starts on...
When's the last time we opened talking something that wasn't fucking WWE?
Oh, it's been... Well, I mean, we had the New Japan show.
Yeah, so that was January?
That was January, yeah.
Probably January. So there you go.
Then we were on the road to WrestleMania, so, you know, my WrestleMania. So
yeah, and then since WrestleMania, when's the last time we talked something that wasn't WWE to open the show? This is the most interesting thing that's happened in a while, and it's funny. I'm sorry. Seeing this happen to TNA, I'm sorry, it's funny. And I don't feel good for the guys there. When I want them out of business, I hope all those people... The truth is, though, the guys who are good enough from TNA,
smart enough,
like an Ethan Carter III, will find employment.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if it'll be WWE, ROH, Japan, NXT. Independent. But he will find employment, continue making money and a living doing this.
Yeah.
Guys that aren't good enough, I'm sorry, you're just not good enough. And that's life.
Yeah.
And that sucks because maybe you love wrestling and you'd want to see everybody employed.
I'm sure Abyss loves wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
WWE should have picked him up like 8 years ago.
Yes.
10 years ago.
I know. He was right there. He was giving them cookies.
Yeah, exactly. But they didn't. He was a monster.
And, I mean, I just look at... so that's the whole summer is going to see how this plays out. We're going to probably have week-by-week rating breakdowns of the two shows. That'll be sort of just interesting from a... I said, I don't know that it's going to necessarily mean anything. But
I suspect that the ratings will be something like 400,000 viewers for... TNA and like 350 for Ring of Honor.
I have a feeling that they are going to be. I'll break it down to the 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I see TNA losing viewership. So I that's where I think it's the opposite. I would almost think it would be like 400,000, 400,000, 300,000. As it goes.
Actually, it's probably something like 350, 425, 350.
Yeah, that could
meaning that they end up with. Yeah, in that middle hour, the first hour of TNA is the biggest. But, admittedly, I'm cheering the first hour of... I'm cheering for ROH to kick their ass.
Well, no, but the funniest thing in the world, though, is that...
But keep in mind, this is the same night. Isn't Lucha Underground and NXT also on Wednesdays?
Yes. So, and in Canada, SmackDown.
Yeah, like, holy fuck, folks.
Yeah. it's Wrestling Wednesday.
That's the closest... This is the... Forget about when TNA went to Monday nights. That was a joke. This is the closest thing to a... This is a Wednesday Night War right here.
Yeah.
Like it really is.
Yeah. And I mean... And
Lucha Underground hasn't been renewed yet, but I think they will be.
Well, they're talking actually about getting... what is that? Univision?
Yes.
In the States. And if that happens, then they're going to have the ability to... They'll be the second most viewed show in the United States, right? Or at least potentially.
Yeah.
And so I just look at... The funny thing with this, too, is that with ROH being a lead-in for TNA, like, TNA's rating, viewership, is going to really be driven by TNA, by ROH.
Theoretically, if ROH sucks and does nothing, then TNA's rating could definitely be hurt.
You're talking about a lead-in. They're a lead-in. That's the point of the lead-in, is build up to a 400,000, 450,000 viewer audience, and then... Here comes TNA, and so they're leading into 450,000, and so you know that's going to have to be a lot of people turning the channel, and they're going
obviously, Tough Enough was supposed to be a lead in to Raw, and didn't do nearly the ratings of Raw or affect the ratings of Raw at all. So
no,
not always. Like it's not always.
No. But that's the theory of it.
That's the theory of it. I wouldn't say ROH doesn't have a chance to outperform. TNA, I think they do, based on they don't have the stink, like they just don't have the bad reputation.
No,
and they also their guys are fresher.
Even after they shower,
they really are. It's a fresh product. It's fresh wrestlers. There's a couple people you'll recognize, a Jay Lethal and a Matt Sydal, but largely it's still guys that many people haven't seen, and it's a fresher product. Whereas TNA is a lot of guys you have seen who were in WWE and gone, and you know, not as much as it used to be, but still enough.
It's with Prince Nana and Will Smith have in common.
What?
They're fresh. But I think that's about it for the...
It's funny. You'd think TNA would be fresh.
No.
No?
No, you wouldn't.
Because Dixie's a douche?
No.
No? No. What is she?
She's a cunt. So we'll end the
explains why it's not French.
Yes. And, well, let's go. Let's morph over here then. Let's segue this motherfucker. And ROH going to have a pay-per-view on June the 19th.
Can't wait.
And on the TV tapings, June the 20th.
Yeah.
Was to be the Samoan Submission Machine.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah, teaming with AJ Styles versus The Addiction.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Fuck.
And that match is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a matter of will that show air on TV?
Well, that show will, but the taping, will that match itself be on?
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's what you meant.
Yes. Yeah. And so does, and that's going to be, that's going to tell us a lot about where Samoa Joe and WWE stand.
Yes, and it's going to tell you a lot about where, how WWE views ROH. So explain to everybody, Samoa Joe showed up at the end of, let's go to Unstoppable, or on, is it Unstoppable?
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable, okay. NXT. Unstoppable, you watch it, and you basically, I'm getting texts from you saying, have you seen it? I'm going, I'm watching it now, I was on like an hour and a half delay.
Yeah.
Like, have you watched it? You're like, oh, there's the main event, so you could just go to the main event. Did I mention the main event? Also the main event.
Then there's the main event.
Yeah, so I'm watching this thing. I'm like, this is not that good. This is not that good. This is not that good. Holy fuck, was that a great women's match?
Match of the year again. Yeah. Again, 2 years in a row. My match of the year will be a women's match.
Probably. I'm like, that was just phenomenal. I'm like, you're not going to top that. And you're like, wait. Let's get then to the main event.
So you have Samuel Zayn against Kevin Owens. And
I call him Samson. Hmm? Samson Zayn.
Samson Zing?
Yeah.
And Delilah Hanson Owens? Samson.
Yeah.
Delilah Owens?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the match is great. You know, for...
It really is.
They're having a great little
it's
match.
It's like the greatest little seven-minute match in history.
And the best part about this is that every match they've had has been different.
Yeah.
This was Sami Zayn getting his revenge for 5 minutes.
Yeah, at least five, yeah.
And then Steen getting the advantage, Owens getting the advantage, and power bombing Zayn again out onto the ring apron.
Yeah,
which is the hardest part of the ring.
Yeah, and, no give. It's got no give there.
No give. Yeah. But then, so then he's hurt. So the match just stops, and Owens is still trying to beat the shit out of Zayn, still beating the shit
because they haven't called the match off.
I know.
So what the fuck is he supposed to do?
I know, I agree with you. I'm just saying.
Stupid.
And then Regal comes down to try to break it up and gets, he fish hooks Owens and he gets
headbutted,
which was great.
Yes, it was.
And then all of a sudden, a remix of Samoa Joe's music hits.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even really bother to change it up. They wanted you to know who was coming.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted you to know, and not his ROH music. It did not sound anything like LL Cool J.
No. Although they probably could have got that.
Probably could have, yeah.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But yeah, they... And...
I'm sorry, what was that?
Gas?
You know, right there? That's better.
Thank you. I'm gonna fart now, but
I'm not spanking you there.
They were they were selling Samoa Joe shirts.
Yes, they were
in the merch. So the crowd there largely knew that he was there. And
I'm gonna pour myself a drink while you're talking.
Okay, and they're chanting for him. And anyway, he comes down to a big pop,
massive.
Does the stare down with Owens, and it reminded me a lot of the
me pouring that noise right there.
There you go, that's great. Yeah, right behind the microphone, it's fantastic.
Yeah, right in front of it.
Yeah, reminds me a lot though of Joe and Angle.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
stare down that yes. they had, and they go face yes. to face there.
Except for the difference was Joe and Angle. Neither one of them wanted to. Neither one of them was afraid of the other one. Whereas here, Owens. Owens amazing at playing chicken shit heel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody who fails to do it well in WWE, which is all of them.
Everybody.
needs to learn how to do it from Kevin Owens.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then of course he backs him off. You know, he runs like you said.
Yeah,
and
then runs, yeah.
Comes down, says, you know, this is my house. They probably didn't run out of time, and it was still running. And then, yeah, Joe has the big ovation and cuts a promo after the show goes off the air just to say whatever.
I am Samoa. Everybody's been saying to me, if you want to make it in this business, you got to go check out the everybody's saying you got to go check out the competition at NXT.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here and I am pro wrestling or something like that.
Exactly. And then on the...
typical Joe promo.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing. And then the tapings are all, whatever it is, 3 weeks of tapings. They're all built around...
Four, I thought.
It could be four.
Yeah.
But 3 of the 4 weeks are built around the Joe Owens confrontation, and then they have the match.
Yeah.
And so...
Joe has 2 matches, I believe, during the tapings.
Yes, a squishy squash, and then... The match against Owens, which is a no contest.
Yeah.
So
leading to a rematch,
which they
theoretically
yes, and that's
theoretically unstoppable. Yeah, next NXT special.
Yes, and I mean so that's your but again, Joe's contract status is still a question mark.
Very much so.
So that's. No one really knows. He's in for a few shots, at least. And, well, I mean, somebody knows, but, I mean, it hasn't been made.
Well, they haven't made, they might be still making the decision, because WWE would have had no problem with this deal, with him being in, on ROH syndicated television.
Right.
While he was contracted to NXT, because they set up the deal. They had no problem with this. All of a sudden, you're on technically a national network, not syndicated TV, technically on a national network. Out of nowhere with Destination America, that may change their point of view. They didn't know it was coming either, so they're probably thinking about it. I mean, to me...
No.
Nah. The idea that they've only signed him to NXT anyways is obviously because they have depth. I mean, he's been in talk with them for a while, but it's because... You've lost Itami. You've lost Neville.
Zane.
You've lost Zane. Yeah, like you need a depth at the main event position.
Dragons as well, or up. I mean, in terms of an overall package.
Yeah, but as far as main event depth, you've lost a lot of guys lately, so they needed somebody to fill that spot.
Not the liver spot. Not the dog spot.
The Neville spot.
But that spot.
Or the Zane spot or whatever. So yeah, I mean, so that's what they brought him in, obviously, for depth that way.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going, why the fuck don't you want... Like, I watched... Like, I sent you a text immediately saying, remember when I said in our last show we were talking about why he couldn't be the guy because he was too old? I'm like, I'm wrong, because he was in shape. Like,
yeah,
in
great shape. Yeah, he was great shape.
And I was like, okay, no, this guy could go up to the main roster right now and within 6 months be main eventing... Royal Rumble. Like, seriously. Yeah. Like, he's great.
Yeah.
He's got the charisma. He's just, yeah. So the idea of not putting him on the main roster is a huge mistake. And then it seems like, when I heard the deal afterwards, I'm like, okay, so I thought he'd be in developmental for 2 months, maybe 3 months until the next Unbreakable type deal or Unstoppable or whatever the next NXT special. And then he'd go up to the main roster. Now, don't they want? Is he ever going to be in the main roster? Do they? Why wouldn't they want him? What the fuck?
Well, I think
the fuck.
I think he got a couple things in play, and that's.
Or does this actually make them want him more because they don't want this guy who seems to have potential to go to a competition that's now on national television?
I don't know if that plays into it as much as I think there might be some. I don't want to call them mind games with Hunter and Vince, but. I think if it was up to Hunter, he'd be there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Hunter signed him. Mm-hmm. Hunter pushed to sign this guy. This was a Hunter thing. And...
Well, Hunter had to push to sign Owens, too, and now everybody loves him.
Exactly, because he's in Vince's ear. And the same thing has to happen with Joe. Is that if Joe's down in NXT for a while, then, you know, all Hunter has to be like, he's our guy now.
Yeah.
He's our guy.
Yeah.
So let's bring him up.
Yeah.
He's ours. And that's all Vince will need. Right now, Vince, bring him up to the main roster. I mean, that was the thing. Remember Rikishi being told you're released to just go to TNA and we'll bring you back at some point.
Yes.
Then he went to TNA. Yeah. He fought, what's his name?
He can't remember. He can't remember.
It was Bobby Roode, but he couldn't remember the name. Yeah. But, which is awesome. But another guy that'll be awesome in ROH.
He'd be awesome in ROH. Well, see, he's a guy that WWE should still snap up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
That's true. The dirty, the filthy heels or dirty heels? Dirty heels.
Yeah, that's their name. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. But so, yeah, he'd be great in ROH.
He'd be great in ROH. He'd be great in NXT. Yeah. I think that's part of what look at NXT now, and there's obviously no...
Do you think Samoa Joe is ever going to be in the WWE main roster?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
That makes me feel better. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's all I wanted to... Like, when this all played down, I was like, shit, that may never happen. Now I'm worried that'll never happen, and that would suck.
Yeah. I think he will. It's interesting, though. It's one of those things that I also thought, though, that it was going to be inevitable that the American Wolves.
That's true.
You know, when they came in and got squished by the Ascension.
Yeah.
And then they just said, no, this isn't for you guys. Okay, we'll see you later. We'll agree to disagree.
Best thing never happened to Davey Richards, because then he met his wife in TNA. You know, for him, as it turned out for the best. But yeah, it was weird. Saying,
I just thought that they would have.
Why would you not want these guys? They're good. They're available and they're good. Why wouldn't you want them?
Well, and again, I just think it's a matter of what are they offering, and there's lifestyle choices. I think right now, though, it's how this should go down. In theory, is that Samoa Joe now has the summer to make some of his indie money.
Yes.
And then when the indie money starts...
And that might actually be it. He might be like, guys, I want to come, but right now I'm making so much money here.
Yeah.
Let me wait till it dries out. Because it will. And when it dries out a little bit...
Yes.
I'll be right there.
Exactly. That's it. And I think that's smart.
Yeah.
And the NXT, I mean, that's the nice part about having NXT.
Yeah.
Is that this isn't WWE waiting for you. This is NXT going, yeah, okay, you can come to NXT when you're ready.
And meanwhile, you're on NXT, so we're familiarizing our audience with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a win-win for everybody. We're still getting what we need from you, and you're making the most money you can make for now.
It's so wacky.
It's so not WWE. There's a certain WWE that we've been taught for the last 30 years, and this is not that WWE.
Yeah, and I mean...
I'm going to sneeze now. It's going to be very loud.
Oh, good. I mean, like, to do... whoa, my goodness.
I fucking warned you. It's your problem.
You could have said something. But doing this deal with Rhino...
Yes.
Okay, I get.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same Brian thing. Kendrick, fine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It just, but Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
like Rhino, it's like, yeah, okay, so this just means you can do House of Hardcore and every other podunk Indiana town.
And we're going to bring in those guys into our, when we run in NXT anyways, bring Tommy Dreamer in anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's also, you know, and Tommy Dreamer is also going to work with TNA. It's a different time.
It's just
we're not used to it. So let's see how it evolves over the next couple of years. I like it. You remember, this is one of the things that Scott D'Amore talked about when we interviewed him on the show. We've heard Jeff Jarrett talk about this too. I don't understand why it is that everybody needs to sit there and be against each other. Why can't we all be, we're all part of the same thing. We all want the same thing, the business, the industry to be bigger.
Yeah.
Why can't we all kind of have a certain, yes, we're taking care of our own needs, but we could have a certain synergy working towards the same thing.
Yes.
This is a feeling like it's going towards that direction too. Maybe that is the new thing that'll be in the future for everybody. Maybe Global Force will be able to play a big part in that. I mean, if Global Force started sharing some of those guys that I talked about with them for the roster for depth, that'd be great. Like, it's a very... But like I say, all of a sudden, everything I felt like I know, I don't know anymore.
I know, right?
So
I
mean, it's... You didn't know anything, so that there was that.
What?
But... But
I don't know about that.
It's a brand new world.
But well, and then you add in the network versus pay per view.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just the whole. Yeah, it's totally different. It's like in the '80s when Vince took wrestling out of the smoke filled arena.
Ah, fuck.
But I think. Yeah, it's definitely a...
I can't look at this anymore, by the way. Can I?
What? That's there for you. I put that there for your benefit.
Oh, Vince Russo. You want to read the back?
Okay.
This is Vince Russo's book, Forgiven.
Yeah, it's been staring me in the face. He put it out there. So the cover of this picture of Vince Russo looking as...
disheveled.
No, I wasn't going to say disheveled. He's looking to me as sincere as possible. While he has his cross is very,
cross,
very
right.
Around his neck is very prominent. Okay, so do you want me to actually read this out loud?
You're bleeding. Yeah, let's see. What is this?
Because it'll take away from the conversation we're having. Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay. The mid-90s marked the beginning of the most exciting and controversial era in the history of pro wrestling. Devastated by steroid scandals, rocked by allegations of the kind of shady business practices that make front-page news and cause high-profile legal challenges, the days of Hulkamania and Saturday morning cartoons were gone.
What?
The bubble had burst. The plush kid toys and action figures were boxed up. Fan interest waned. The on-air product became dated and ratings plummeted. Is he talking about today?
We have stone-cold lollipops.
And then the WWF billionaire owner Vincent Kennedy McMahon found a most unlikely savior.
Oh, did he ever?
Ask any wrestling fan about Vince Russo and you're sure to get a heated reaction. Opinion varies. No, it doesn't.
No,
but it's always passionate. The guy is a genius. Or he single-handedly ruined the sport. Okay. Either way, Russo is perhaps the most enigmatic and influential figure in modern wrestling. What's weird about this, about being the most hated man in an industry where public ire is money in the bank, Vince Russo wasn't even a wrestler. He just wrote the stuff.
Oh.
A visionary trendsetter, Russo surfed the zeitgeist. Before phrases like shock TV and reality TV were ever uttered, no, fuck that. They were uttered like, wait. Russo brought those revolutions to pro wrestling fans worldwide. Part of the select few responsible for creating the late 90s phenomenon known as sports entertainment. As lead writer, Russo took the WWF's flagship program, Monday Night Raw, to unimaginable heights, and even greater heights after he left, ratings-wise. It's 8 Nielsen rating market share, making it, to this day, the highest-rated cable program in television history. Forgiven, one man's journey from self-glorification to sanctification. Is that right? Yeah.
He went to Santa Fe?
Is the book that every wrestling fan has been waiting for. For this first time, fans will get the true story from the man who was involved with it all. Other books have touched the success and tragedies. The double cross that cost Bret Hart his championship and ruined his two-decade-long father-son relationship with Vince McMahon. The rise to superstardom of Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mick Foley and The Rock, and the tragic death of Owen Hart.
Oh.
It continues on Front Flap. So I'll be
No, we're done.
But none can offer this perspective. Vince Russo was part of it all. Writing it all. But forgiveness
did
is
they
not...
Just, they did just say Vince Russo was part of killing Owen Hart?
Yeah, they did. But part of it all. Jeez. Writing it all. But forgiveness is not just another wrestling book. Here's the most misunderstood man in sports entertainment finally comes clean with the fans and, more importantly, with himself. Oh. A touching and beautifully written memoir.
I feel that this is going to be touching.
Forgiven offers Russo's life, his work, and his very soul as a modern-day parable about the price of success. In heartbreaking detail, he shows how a godforsaken business and the desire for power and acclaim led him, unwittingly, into spiritual wasteland. As one of TV's most successful writers of the late 90s, there was nothing he couldn't put before the camera to make wrestling entertainment's hottest commodity. But as he became more and more successful, with $1 million a year salaries being dangled before him, he became despondent. Oh. Ultimately, Vince Russo's Forgiven becomes a story of redemption. In the end, it is Russo's faith and family, not his role in professional wrestling, that bring him true happiness. Finding guidance and forgiveness in God, he becomes more powerful than he ever was, helping to guide an entertainment empire. Yeah. Written by...
Fuck Russo?
And here's Vince Russo's actual memoir. No, because that's just the book. This is what we say about Vince Russo. Vince Russo was born in Long Island, New York, after a controversial stint as the editor of the Indiana State student newspaper.
Oh, that was controversial, was it?
Oh, you remember all the scandals that were rocking the world around the Indiana State?
Oh my god, remember they were gonna, I think the scandal they were gonna let somebody named, the scandal was that they were gonna let someone named Ajmi go there.
He supported his family by selling academic textbooks and televisions, and later by owning and operating Will the Thrills Video, a lifelong wrestling fan. It wasn't long before he helped create the Pro Wrestling Spotlight, an influential New York wrestling radio program. Soon after, his journalistic integrity and bravura...
journalistic integrity.
he's a sports journalist.
That's great.
A broadcast journalist. Landed him a job freelancing for WWF Magazine. A year later, he became editor of that publication. From there, his career in sports entertainment took off. And by the second half of the 90s, he was the head creative writer for the WWF. Instrumental in developing new characters and successful storylines, he helped make Monday Night Raw the highest rated cable program in television history. After a successful run as Vince McMahon's right-hand man, rival organization WCW hired him away to head their creative department. With Ted Turner's company, Russo's career once again took a new direction. He stepped out from behind the keyboard to become an on-air personality. In one of the most controversial moments in wrestling history, on September 25th, 2000, Vince Russo became World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes, he did.
After the ultimate demise of WCW. Gee, what caused that?
What was that?
Russo had a hand in getting NWA TNA on his feet.
Oh,
then,
fuck.
In 2003, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. A father of three, still married to his college sweetheart, Vince Russo now has his own ministry in Marietta, Georgia. Using wrestling as a parable, his Ring of Glory focuses on attracting the lost through the combination of athleticism and evangelism. Written by Dixie Carter.
Is it really?
Well, I assume she wrote all that, considering how much it sucked his ass.
Oh,
and how big a fan she is.
I just thought it was funny if it actually was.
Nah, I assume it was.
Oh.
I assume she's the ghostwriter. Right there, it says on the side, it says Vince Russo, forgiven. And it said right there, the ghostwriter, what does it say?
Oh, yeah, Dixie Carter.
Yeah. Well, that's not what it says.
No, it says cunt. That's what I mean, though. fuck.
What the fuck were we talking about?
Oh, it doesn't matter now. Fuck Kane.
All right, fuck off.
So I wrote the little thing here.
Fuck off.
I mean, no, it's fuck Kane.
Then fuck off.
TNA. And
fuck off.
It's really like a happy face. This is not TNA.
Oh, he actually did draw a happy face.
Holy shit. So yeah, we're talking about Samoa Joe and
you can cross that off. What is it you just crossed off your list? Because it actually was in his notes for the show that he wanted to make sure to talk about.
Kane.
Fuck off. Kane. Fuck. Sorry. You gotta stop saying his name.
Okay. Okay.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Okay. What I need you to do, because we just talked about him.
Who?
Then I'll be back in a second. Okay, we had to have Kentucky Fried Chicken again, didn't we?
KFC it's called now.
All right. You have a mailbag question, though.
Yeah, but I need you. You got to be here for this.
Okay, you'll be here for this.
I got two mailbag questions.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we got another mailbag question. In terms of ranking your order of company interest.
Oh, right now?
And why? Right now. So, do that for a second.
It's probably different today than it was a couple of days ago. And does NXT count as its own company? Like, WWE bores me. I'm just, like, someone like the Kevin Owens, John Cena is the reason, well, one of the two reasons, we'll get into the Elimination Chamber a little bit here, but one of the reasons why I want to watch the show, obviously, and there is that. And last week's headline, last week's show, we called it WWE Gets Interesting, because that was an interesting thing. But as a general rule, I mean, just WWE bores me. It's so stale. And it's not working in this way that the ratings are showing this and going down. And the interest is down and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's certainly not WWE. NXT as its own product, I get excited when they build towards the specials. The weekly show, I have trouble watching as well. As a consistent basis, I'll often binge watch and skip through some stuff. But the problem with the show is, as much as they're talking about it being its own brand and as great as it is, a couple of injuries really hurt it. Like, it doesn't take much because the roster is so thin. And because you have so many guys who are in... like, it's still developmental. You still have guys there who are not as good as guys in TNA and ROH and Lucha Underground and guys like that. People like Dana Brooks or Baron Corbin, and I don't blame them. I don't blame that they're learning. I don't blame the Big Kaz is learning and that type of stuff. You know, it's a good thing, but it is developmental. So as far as watching and getting the entertainment weekly, it's the roster's a little bit thin, and it does. I like the booking and I like the style, but to me, it peaks towards those specials. And that's when they get near a special. That's when I'm interested. Weekly, not so much. WWE right now getting me interested in anything except for a single match. Like at least when I'm watching the NXT, I'm interested in the full 2-hour special. I want to see the whole thing. WWE this Sunday, there's two things I want to see. And one of them is a prediction that I want to see if it comes true. And then the one's the actual match, and that's the Owens versus Cena. So it's tough for me to rank either one of them. Like, if NXT is its own company, it ranks ahead of WWE, obviously. But, I mean, am I excited like crazy? No. New Japan, I love New Japan World. But I watch New Japan mainly still. I'm still way behind. I'm still watching stuff from a long time ago. You know, much like what I do on the WWE Network. Historically, on the WWE Network, they found that people don't watch the old shows. That they watch the specials. They watch the NXT is like a regular weekly show. They watch things like Legend House when it was on. This Jerry Springer thing, I guess, is doing quite well. That type of thing that they found that people are watching. For me, I mean, I'm more likely to go and watch the old matches and that type of thing. So that's why New Japan is good for me. I'm watching a lot of that, but I'm not watching anything current there either. I'm behind because there's a lot of old content and still familiarizing myself with the product and some of the names. And it is a little bit harder because we're not talking about something that is in English. So you have to really watch and pay attention in that way. So, I mean, I have interest in New Japan, but is it interest in New Japan product currently? Not really. It's interest in New Japan as kind of a history. So it would probably go ahead. It would go ahead of WWE. It would probably go. I would probably put it behind NXT though. So I'd have right now. I'd have NXT in the lead, then New Japan. TNA. I have no interest in. The interest now would be. To see if there's anything they do to ramp it up. One of the things actually we should mention is TNA, when all this broke, decided to have a conference call with their employees. So what they did was their employees got on, their employees bitched a little bit about lack of communication. There has been a lack of communication, obviously, but not so much in this particular incident, though a lot of people were upset with this, hearing about it over social media. But hey, that's how Dixie heard about it too. But they basically said, well, what's going to happen now? And they said, well, we can't comment on our future. So basically what they did was they said, hey, here we go. Everybody gather around. We're going to tell you what's going on. Here's what we can tell you. Nothing. We can't tell you what's going on. But thanks for coming out. We wanted to let you know how we can't tell you anything. That's TNA for you. A perfect example of why TNA is there's no shit. Interest in, yeah, why shit. I was just saying, telling the story about how they killed the conference call, and then like the conference call was to say, we can't tell you anything.
Oh yeah, so why the fuck
bother? Why the fuck bother? Like everybody, hey, come on.
No, all they talked about was it was other shit, and then they asked about it. They said, oh, we can't talk about that.
And that's the only reason anybody showed up, though. They don't give a shit about other stuff.
No, exactly.
So anyway, so TNA is at the very bottom, obviously. So then you got Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground is not a wrestling show. It's a television show that is about wrestling. That is a different thing. It's shot different. It's done different. It's fresh. It's got good action. But it doesn't have things like replays. It doesn't have typical announcing. It doesn't have typical storylines.
That's true.
Shooting. So I almost have trouble. Like, again, it's another one that's good for binge watching. But, you know, it doesn't really classify in the same way. Then you got ROH. ROH for me is always something that peaks a few times a year when you have like the Japanese performers come over. And Japanese, by the way, I love that Destination America is the only place for American product. And the first thing they're advertising is all the Japanese wrestlers on their show.
Yes.
They're coming on ROH.
Oh yeah.
But they're America's show with American product. And then they got all the ROH guys.
That's right.
But yeah, so I mean ROH, but I am more interested today because I want to see if they're any aggressive in changing things or going after things. Now there is the competition between them and TNA. So right now they'd be my number one and probably NXT my number two.
Yeah.
Then New Japan, then Lucha Underground, then WWE, and then TNA.
Yeah. See, and for those, I would go with NXT for me as number one, then ROH number two. But I could flip it either way.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you know, I would say
Lucha... Week to week, like I said, the problem with the ROH is that they tape their programs, their television, again, way ahead of time. And they only have a few pay-per-views a year, so that it doesn't feel like it's important to watch until you get near one of these big events.
Yeah.
Like this next pay-per-view on June 19th, I'm excited for. But since then, it's been a while since they've had an event I'm excited for. So even watching that weekly TV, it's like, I can watch it, I can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I do with everything. Like when I'm ranking the importance, a lot of it is just the what's most convenient to watch right now to fill an hour or 2 hours of my time.
And that's the thing that I was going to get to in terms of with my NXT ROH flippity flop, whichever take your pick as to which one I like most this week. Both of those shows, a fucking hour.
That helps.
And
that's another thing about Lucha Underground.
It's primary, I think.
That's one of the things about Lucha Underground. Exactly. That is great, is it is a short show.
Yeah. And especially with the midgets. But I think the
little people.
It's pronounced midgets. But I think they've got those that hour. I mean, just Raw. I mean, Jesus, I could.
3 hours of Raw is just a killer.
And a stupid... fucking...
Well, and then to ask me to watch SmackDown after? What's the most... So you open Raw with fucking Rollins and
the Authority.
Well, 20-minute talking. You always open with 20-minute talking. Anyways. But no, you open with Reigns and Ambrose versus Rollins and Kane. And the main event of SmackDown is Reigns and Ambrose versus Rollins and Kane. So what... Like, there is... That's the exact reason... why I don't feel a need to watch the show.
Well, because, And nothing
happens. Then the main event on Sunday is going to be Ambrose and Rollins.
Yeah.
Like, fuck me.
Well, and I mean, I look at the fact that, you know, you've got, that match, and then that was a 15-minute match there.
Yeah.
So then you're almost an hour in to Raw.
Yes.
And I don't give a fuck about anything.
No. Well, and again, Raw is... I understand the theory. Like, Raw went 3 hours and 7 minutes. And it featured 40... it was 40 minutes and 32 seconds of wrestling this week.
Yeah.
That match went 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And the Sheamus and Ziggler match went 10. They've had 5 other matches that went an average of 15... or a total of 15 minutes. 3 minutes per match. So, again... if you want to watch a wrestling show from WWE, you have to get the pay-per-view or the special event or whatever. You need the network.
Or watch.
So there is a reason to go to them. The matches aren't fresh because you've seen them on Raw. But you've only seen clips. It's like teasers. You don't see full matches on Raw.
Right.
You don't get wrestling on Raw. If you get the pay-per-view, hopefully you get 2 of that 3 hours of wrestling. We've seen times where it's been like 70 minutes. And they've even fucked that up. But usually you're going to get between 2 and 2 hours and 15 minutes of that will be wrestling action for that night. Which for me is what
but even then we I'd rather watch that, it. We came out of that show positive because it was the debut of Sting.
That's true. But, that's true. Until then it was the shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Sting debuted at Survivor Series, yeah.
But I think you've got... I mean, I just looked at it like, that was... Raw was just... it was just Raw.
It's just Raw. That's all it is. It's a teaser for these people. Like, it's a teaser. And that's one of the reasons why...
Did you see the sign on Raw? When it rains, it bores.
yeah.
Fantastic.
Let's talk about Elimination Chamber.
Oh, let's lead into that. Okay.
Or do you want to do the other question since we're doing questions?
Okay, let's do the other question. We'll end on it with an Elimination Chamber pre-effing view.
Well, one of the questions is on Elimination Chamber, so okay, that'll lead into that perfectly.
Yay.
But do something like sing or something. Do your imitation of Vince Russo. Something. I'm going to look up the questions here.
I will do my imitation of Mo.
Okay. That's not annoying, is it? Hold on, I'm having trouble bringing it up.
Okay, I'll keep going.
Shit, waiting on network. I thought you were doing some me eating or something like that. I thought if that would be an imitation of me, we'd be going...
That is you eating.
Come on, seriously.
I'm Can I get eating. That?
Okay, here we go.
See?
Okay, there we go. So the question is from AC Bishop. AC Bishop wants to know.
Yes.
Hey guys, love the show.
Is that AC Bishop or
okay. AC Bishop? Hey guys, love the show. Blah 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 blah. Kisses our ass a little bit, which you should always do when you send us an email, but we won't read it on there. So, anyways, guys, I enjoyed the show last week when you were talking about who can be the man in the future in the WWE, and you were ranking the different guys. But I'd love to know why it is you didn't bring up Tyler Breeze. You brought up everybody else that he's been in the main event picture with in NXT, and you didn't mention him. Don't you think he has a shot?
No.
Maybe a little more detail on why no.
No, I do not. No, I mean, Tyler Breeze, he's a good act. He's not a main eventer. He's, I don't want to say, I don't think his size is going to be so much of a factor, but I think his size is going to be a factor.
Like, we brought up Neville, and he's not big. We brought up Finn Balor, he's not big. No, I think he might even be smaller. Hideo Itami, we brought up Kevin Owens. Like, we brought up all the guys. True, he's been in that mix for the whole time.
Yeah.
And yet, for me, it's not about the size. Even the act, it's a good act. He does a good job with it. I've come around on him because I thought at first
I think he's
like,
a great act.
I was like, man, this guy's got no chance to ever be anything.
Can he be the man? No.
Well, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. For me, as we look right now at the Elimination Chamber tag team match, and this is a good example of this too, how many guys in the history, in the 31 main events of WrestleMania, were gimmicks? Like, not talking personality and enhanced personality, like Stone Cold Steve Austin was Steve Austin, just enhanced, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hulk Hogan was fucking Hulk Hogan, just enhanced.
Was Mr. T considered a gimmick?
No, that was him, but enhanced.
Yeah.
But a gimmick would be The Undertaker, and I can't think of a second one.
No, because by the time Mankind,
even Diesel's not a gimmick.
This is a name.
It's a gimmick name, but it's not a gimmick.
Yeah.
He was basically Kevin Nash.
Yeah, I actually would consider Yokozuna a gimmick.
Yes. Okay, I'll give you Yokozuna. So that's two.
I consider Yokozuna a gimmick.
Okay.
I'm just trying to go down through the lists in terms of, you know, like Flair wasn't a gimmick and things. The Ultimate Warrior was a gimmick.
I don't think Ultimate Warrior was a gimmick.
Well, no, he was a gimmick.
That was him. That's the thing. I suppose it was a gimmick, but only sort of.
It was only
slightly more of a gimmick than Hulk Hogan, and I don't consider Hulk Hogan to have been a gimmick.
I guess. I just when you do the face paint. Yeah, I guess, but that's not really how we talk, too. Yeah. But, I mean, okay, I'll border out, so we get 2.5.
Yeah.
And then we go up to, you know, like, Austin, no. Rock, no. Big Show, no. You know, it was Mick Foley, not Mankind.
Yeah, exactly.
If Mankind had done, like, WrestleMania 12 or something, then that's a different story.
Edge, Batista, John Cena. I don't fucking care who it is. The gimmicks are never the man.
Sean,
like, the gimmicks, Bret Hart, the gimmick isn't the man. Like, the
JBL might be, but I don't think
JBL was very much him, too, to some degree.
I don't think he main evented, right?
And he never main evented.
Was there, like, a match with him and Orton or something, and Hunter that was, like, a three-way?
No.
Yeah, I thought so.
No. Not WrestleMania.
Really?
No. Absolutely not.
Huh.
Absolutely not. He had the match with Cena. And then I think he took on Chris Benoit or something.
You know what the huge gimmick was? Yeah, Chris Benoit guy. Because he played a baby face.
Fuck. CM Punk is not a gimmick. Like, Chris Jericho isn't a gimmick. Like, the gimmicks isn't what gets over. So I look at him, I think, a really good gimmick. But to me, you're Fandango,
Ricky Martel.
Ricky Martel made it successful.
Yeah,
but he was never a main eventer.
No, but so I and that's what, and I maybe Tyler that's what he can be. Make it successful.
But I don't even think he'll do that because, and it's not because of him. It's because, like, I look at Fandango, like I say,
Santino,
like just
Adam Rose
is both. Yeah, the gimmicks come up. It is a gimmick. They give him a push for 2-3 weeks. Vince gets bored, and that's it.
Yeah.
He'll turn on you so quick when you're doing a gimmick, and yet he wants to give people gimmicks still, like it's fucking 1968.
Yeah.
So. That was...
They had a lot of gimmicks in 1968, did they?
They took a lot of gimmicks, not as many as they took in the 80s.
That's true.
Or the 90s. They took the most in the 90s.
Okay.
I really wish I hadn't closed my account, but I did.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to look it up again. Oh, fuck.
I'll do a question.
You got a question.
That we got tweeted to us because you're into the email and I got the Twitter machine here. And so I'll do that. Here is this.
By the way, ADD at We Talk Wrestling. Addy?
ADDIE.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said ADD. Add. Which you can't
maybe,
do.
Maybe because I have ADD. So ADDIE, Addy, at WeTalkWrestling.com to email us your questions. Please do so. Or go at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And WeTalk or Facebook-WeTalkWrestling, is it?
It's Facebook.com/
WeTalkWrestling. You know, I've only heard you say it like a million times.
And WeTalkWrestling.com is also.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, those are where. But probably the best place is the email, Addy, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com. Or the Twitter, at WeTalkWrestling, would be the best two places to send us a question.
Does our truth have any chance of winning the Elimination Chamber? And if he doesn't, what's he doing in the chamber anyway?
Well, and yeah, I mean, there's people like Orton and Bray Wyatt right now that aren't scheduled, and you know, it's a the chamber is a weird thing because it's not a pay per view, but it is a pay per view. Why is he there? I think it's basically because, like, seriously, he is one of the tightest guys, the friendliest guys with Vince McMahon in the company.
Because they went to high school together.
Oh, R-Truth is not young. He's right on that. But that's it. I mean, I really can't think of any other reason. He's not over with the crowd. He's not a great wrestler. And they don't see him as a threat. You'd say he'd be in there to do the job. But in the Elimination Chamber, everybody has to do
Five
the job
guys
at
have
one.
To do the job, exactly.
So it doesn't make any sense. So that's all I got. It really is... No, he doesn't have a chance, and the only reason I can think he's in there is because two reasons. Number one, he's seriously very good friends, very tight with Vince. He's one of the few guys who takes the corporate plane with Vince.
Yeah,
like he's one of the few guys in the roster who's ever done that. He's done that quite often, so that tells you something. And the other reason why is because you don't want to put in a guy like necessarily like a Bray Wyatt if he has to lose. Now there's an injury. Yeah.
Which we'll get to. But I think the thing is with Archer, I mean, from a storyline perspective, I mean, we're not that far removed from WrestleMania a couple months, and he was...
But why was he in that? Because he was Prince's buddy, I think.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But, I mean, why is he in the chamber? I can somewhat buy that he was in the chamber because he was in that.
He's been booked so great since.
Of course.
No, why wouldn't you put Luke Harper in? Because he's now part of a tag team? I don't know.
Neville, I mean, he's got a feud with Bo Dallas.
Because they don't want him to do the job. Yeah. They don't want him to lose. So,
anyway.
Yeah.
Someone's got to lose first, and it might as well be R-Truth.
No, fucking right, it might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I'm a little worried.
Does he have a chance? No.
No, fuck no. Yeah.
All right. What's your other one here?
Oh, wait, now I actually got to call it up in just a second.
Okay.
Okay, so Golf times 5,000. Golf five times by 5,000. Wanted to know, hey guys, I don't understand why the WWE has so many shitty wrestlers.
Oh, good.
When I watch the NWA or NBA, NFL, or a movie, the guys who are at the major levels, the blockbusters or the teams there, like don't suck. The WWE is the equivalent of the NFL or NBA or a blockbuster movie. Why would they have guys that suck? And also, who do you think is the shittiest guy they've ever had?
That they've ever had.
Yeah.
Wow.
That we've seen, who would you say is the shittiest guy?
Who's the shittiest guy that I have ever seen?
In the WWE.
In the WWE.
I think the shittiest guy ever I saw would be probably, what was his
name? Tom McGee?
Oh, fuck no. I think, what's his name that did the mummy gimmick?
The Yeti?
Yeah, and then what was it? Ron Reese?
Ron Studd?
Oh, fuck. Oh,
I think Kali, oh. I look at I say Kali.
I mean, Kali is the first guy that comes to mind for me too. Like Kali couldn't do anything.
No,
I remember watching a match with Giant Gonzalez, yes. And I'm like, cause this was probably like a year ago. And I'm like, oh fuck, he was the worst. And then I'm watching him, I'm like, he is so much better than the great Kali. It's not even funny.
Yeah,
Kali, based on his lack of understanding and lack of ability to communicate and immobility. Is bad. The other guy is Mantor was just awful. Like
I think that was an awful gimmick.
He was awful too. He was awful.
He wasn't.
He was the drizzling shits.
Yeah, that was Bruiser Mastino.
Yeah, he was the drizzling shits. Just terrible. So who else? But it's true though. I mean, why do you think it is that they get like? How can they get somebody shitty? You're the best. Like you should only get the best guys. Like Kozlov was a guy who recently sucked. But yeah, you should only get guys who are great. Like, yeah, I mean, nobody's going to cast a bad actor in the next X-Men because it's a big budget movie. And so you have the resources to make sure you only get somebody who's really good. Nobody, a bad football player, he might be bad for the NFL, but he's not bad compared to a college football player making the NFL. It's not going to happen. I don't know why he gets the shitty guys. It really is kind of, and you say it's because of their size, but
yeah,
there's been guys, I've seen guys on the roster that are small that suck too.
Well, yes, that's true. I think that a lot of it is just,
like, what's his name? Terry Gordy's kid was shitty.
I think you find that in a lot of things. Yeah, but he was Terry Gordy's kid. And that's what I said. I mean, I've seen where I work really shitty workers.
Yeah, but you're not
But their parents are a fucking vice president, so they have a job.
Well, yeah. Well, okay.
And they're not
that.
Good. But, and that's
but
again,
but they're not in the corporate office at the very top making the most money.
They can be. But and some of these guys, like, I mean, but people. Yeah, people that aren't very good can squeak in, and because of who they schmooze with or what they've done for one particular person who's a decision maker, you know,
Kelly.
Yeah, they get a push, right? I mean, and Vince likes size. Vince
was, I'm pulling.
And that's what I said. When it comes to Kali, when it comes to Jesse, is fucking Terry Gordy's son. That's why.
Yeah, I guess.
And Michael Hayes was a big decision maker at the time.
So explain Michael Tarver. Why did Michael Tarver make? Why does a guy like Michael Tarver make the main roster, and a guy like I don't know?
Because they like his look.
Fucking Ricochet is still on the Independence.
Because they just like his look.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, see, that's it. Is a weird thing though. It is when you compare it to that other way, it is weird.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is. It is, but yeah.
All right.
Well, let's talk about the Elimination motherfucking Chamber.
Let's do it. Speaking of gimmicks,
yes, tag team Elimination Chamber.
I'm looking at three shitty gimmicks right here.
Three?
Well, two for sure.
Yeah.
The Lucha Dragons. Yeah, I guess it's Lucha, so I can't, it's not fair to call it.
They're not
shitty,
shitty gimmick. They're it's just not a shitty gimmick. You're right. Fucking masked guys.
Yeah, it's not fair.
That's all.
The
Ascension's a shitty gimmick.
Yeah, and Primetime Players. I guess you can't. Yeah, and Prime. Yeah, the Ascension and Matadors are shitty.
Yeah.
Kid and Cesaro don't really have a gimmick,
they
which is good.
Gimmick, yeah,
because that's what gets you over. And
the New
so,
Day,
the New Day
used
is
to
a
have
gimmick.
A shitty gimmick,
and now it's a great gimmick because they figured out what to do with it.
Exactly, and that's fantastic. And the Primetime Players exist.
Yeah,
and so I think this will be interesting. I mean, there's Kid and Cesaro and the Lucha Dragons. Like Kid and Cesaro were great, Kalisto's great, you know, Kofi's pretty good.
You look at the teams and you're like, there's a bunch of geeks. The Matadors are geeks, Ascension are geeks, Primetime Players are geeks.
Yes.
Like, you don't take them seriously. Then you have a team that you know is pretty good and that hasn't been booked that shitty in Cesaro and Kid, and the New Day haven't been booked that shitty, neither is the Luchadors. The truth is, though, four of these six teams can really wrestle. The other one are pretty charismatic and cool, and one of them is useless.
Yes.
So, and I'm really curious about two guys in Elimination Chamber and the potential of 12 guys in the ring in that
chamber
environment.
Yeah.
So I'm very anxious to see this match, actually.
Or 10
Not guys. Because they have...
I assume the Ascension will be pinned right away.
I hope. Not because they have any sort of...
They haven't booked it that way. It's just...
No, it's not because they booked it that way. It's just because it's new, because it's never been done like this before. I'm not... Like, it's not because they kept the tag team division strong.
Hot and heavy here in the World Wrestling
Federation. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at these six teams, and then you look at, say, six teams in 1999 and six teams in 1988,
yeah.
These would be like the worst.
Yeah,
you know,
you could compare these to six teams in 1995.
Yeah, and that's was
the
not
New
a hot
Rockers
period.
And the Godwins, and,
yeah,
yeah,
and that
Techno
was shitty.
Team, yeah,
and this is kind of where it sits like that. So,
but yeah, that's so. Who do you think is going to win?
I think the New Day retains.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah. I think the New Day would retain. I could give.
I wonder if
Kid and Cesaro have an outside shot.
have an outside shot, and so do I think the Lucha Dragons have an outside shot, I think. But probably not now. Outside the ring, you're going to have Natty. I assume you're going to have Xavier Woods. You're going to have the Bull, Torito. Like, you're going to have... And I'm sure they'll get involved in some way, too.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. That'll be. Is this the first match in Chamber history where there's a midget outside the ring and a midget in the pod?
Little person. Hmm? What?
I want to see matches between Kalisto and Torito.
I thought you were talking about Tyson Kidd.
I just want to know who's taller.
Actually, I'm not sure. Though both are good.
Yes. All right. Then we have the Intercontinental Chamber match.
And so the X factor here.
Yes.
Is Rusev got hurt at the SmackDown tapings, and I have heard that he was in a wheelchair and that he will not be at the Elimination Chamber, though the website obviously still lists him in the match.
Yes, he's and still down there.
So. I assumed he was going to win, to be honest with you.
I had thought so too, and actually it may be a good thing that he's not in the match.
What do you think of the whole Lana thing? I don't like it.
Anal backwards?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that both are already starting to lose their accents. Like the first thing I noticed. Is it they're still keeping it, but then they'll say a few words that don't have it, and they'll go back to it, so now it's...
Yeah, subtle.
The segment on Raw, I thought, had the potential. I liked some of the things. I thought Rusev was great.
Rusev has been terrific.
I know why you did this. Because you're a woman. And the producer was watching it with me, and she's like, what now?
Yeah.
And you just do these things. Yeah, Rusev has a point, I'm telling you.
He's the baby face.
Now just say those three words. I was wrong. Okay, well, he's not married. But it was funny to me. I thought Rusev came off great. It went on.
His performance is good. I just don't like the booking.
And it went on.
I think both their performances are good. I don't like the booking.
I actually also liked Rusev's when he put... Ziggler in a camel clutch and made him humble, and he's going, "Kiss him now, kiss him now."
No, they're. I don't like Ziggler's role in this. I don't like Lana's. I don't like the way Lana's booked her character personally in this.
No,
she just. I don't understand why she would come out of SmackDown and say, "We're just friends." Well, then why the fuck are you making out on the top of the stage?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And even it's like SmackDown,
they always book their women. They don't book them as equals. They're sluts, or they are. They're manipulative, or they are victims. And this is just, to me, perpetuating how they book all their women. So that's why I like watching NXT. And it's a great women's match, right? Between Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. This is about competition and the belt. And then I get this bullshit that really just soap opera bullshit does nothing for me. I don't like the booking. I don't like the way Ziggler's booked. I don't like the way Lana's booked. Rusev is, he's just the heel. The performances are fine. But there's a lot of logic holes in it, too. I don't like it.
The thing is as I said, with Rusev, it had to be Roman Reigns or Randy Orton for him to move on to push him up the card. Instead, he's with Ziggler, and he's now in this Elimination Chamber Intercontinental title purgatory land that, lo and behold, Sheamus, Barrett, Ryback are also all in.
Yeah.
And so it's a perfect place for them all in this match. And unfortunately, Rusev's now... part of that, and he's going to be part of that now. As I said, he's not feuding with Ziggler, he's feuding with Lana.
Yeah.
And as I said, I think the whole thing went on too long. I think Rusev's performance made me giggle and was great. And then when he got upset, I thought that was good. But the fire is there, so that tells me Rusev can still be somebody that they haven't killed it.
Yeah.
But they're going to over the summer.
Yeah, probably.
So we have that, so we have Ziggler, we got...
So now with his injury, apparently...
Yes, the SmackDown.
We're hearing likely Bray Wyatt being in there.
That makes sense.
I still think it's possible he's in there and he's last out the chamber, so he could still win it if he works a short time. And then cut promos or whatever while he heals, but it depends. I don't know how serious the injury is. If it's like 3 months and the ankles can be, then, you know, that's obviously not going to happen. If Bray Wyatt goes in, who do you put the belt on? I think it was going to be Rusev... I think my dark horse was Sheamus and still is.
Wasn't on R-Truth? You don't think he's going to win?
No.
Oh.
No, we already covered that.
You said Sheamus? Yeah, it could be Sheamus. That would suck.
Well, that goes without saying.
I don't know what you... I mean,
I don't put it on Sheamus. I don't put it on Ziggler because they've already been there, done that. You know, Wade Barrett just did that too. But it, you know, and does he need it if he's a king? I mean, fuck, if he's a king of the ring and a fucking Intercontinental title, this fucking Well, he'll never win another goddamn match. By the way, we just got this tweeted by John Riffenberg.
Okay.
Is it finally time for the TNA eulogy episode?
No, we're waiting. We're waiting till it's official. It will happen.
It will happen.
It will be glorious. That's where we will have guests. We will have Samoa Joe on, and the champagne is on ice.
It is on ice.
It will be great. It's a great year.
But it's a great day to be alive.
Yes, yes.
But I don't know. I want something new. I want, like, I don't mind Ryback winning the Intercontinental title, for God's sakes. Or Bray Wyatt.
Or Bray Wyatt, and I didn't mind Rusev for that reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but Sheamus, Barrett, Ziggler, I would say no, and R-Truth, hell no.
No.
So, I would book it, right now, looking at this list, and with the unknown of Rusev, I would book it on Ryback.
Ziggler and Barrett, God, they've had it so many times.
Yeah. Barrett not, though.
Well, who cares?
That's true.
The only reason to put it on King Barrett is because you intend to actually put it on Adrian Neville to get it from him, which is why then wouldn't you just put him in here? And again, who knows? He could probably beat Bo Dallas and go in there.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pulling double duty.
And the thing is, right now you have three heels and three baby faces, right? So.
Yeah. That's true. That would just mean that, yeah. I don't know. Then we've got Ambrose and Rollins.
Will this go on last? It probably will, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah,
I would think so.
It's just so hard to. Like I say, I want to see all three Shield members. You're killing it if you just keep on kind of rotating these guys against each other.
Yeah,
you
gotta build anticipation. Stay apart, yeah,
I'm looking forward to this in a way.
It's potential. JR used to say, "You don't pay the bills with potential," but I think that. Because they have not mentioned it lately, that this is where Kane fucks him.
Okay, this is where I disagree. I think Ambrose gets fucked all right.
I think Rollins keeps the title, but Kane fucks.
No.
And that leads to the...
I think Reigns turns here.
Oh, good.
That's why I think... That's one of the reasons I want to watch the show. It's completely logical right now. In a way, it is.
I briefly thought that on Monday, too. That thought crossed my mind on Monday when he came in and got the contract for him and was, like, laughing or whatever.
Yeah, he got the contract for him. He's not getting the match. He's not technically on the show. J&J and Kane will be out there, so he'll come out there to even the odds. Nobody sees it coming. He and Ambrose were in each other's face at the last pay-per-view because they were in the four-way. He hasn't had the momentum as the babyface they wanted. There's all these reasons for it to happen. The biggest reason, though, is it's one of those things who, on a free month, when you're leaving the air and you want people to come back the next month, that's the angle. That's the hook. The idea that it's out of nowhere sometimes works. Usually it doesn't make any sense. And here it doesn't make any sense, but you can actually create a backstory to make it make sense afterwards. Retcon it, as they say. So
what?
That's why I'm interested in this match. I believe Roman Reigns is turning on Ambrose and going heel in this match. And I think that makes a lot of sense because Rollins probably loses that belt to the babyface Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Right? And the babyface Brock Lesnar and the heel Roman Reigns then makes more sense again.
Is it? Yeah. For finality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
So I see that.
I just thought this is where Kane finally, they play that.
There's that possibility, too. I fucking hope not.
Frankly,
as far as an interest, that would be a babyface Kane against a Rollins. I could give a fuck.
Yes.
Whereas heel Reigns joining?
Yeah.
Or even if he's a loner, but he's a heel Reigns and Ambrose going after him. Now, far more interest in that,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I
just don't think the Kane turning... For the 418th million.
No, it doesn't mean shit. All I'm saying
means
is,
as much, and they need I think they need something big here.
Of course they do. I'm not saying what your idea is what should happen, and it has that possibility of happening.
I think it
will
happen.
I looked at the fact that they built up, and then this is what WWE does: is when they stop mentioning it,
yeah.
then it happens.
That's true.
And so that's where I thought the king.
But I think you can kind of see that also with the Reigns thing. Like Reigns and Ambrose were in each other's face. And then all of a sudden they're buddies again. And so
it's definitely the other thing that they do. Like we're both basically talking about this is how they do these things, right? Yeah. And both are true. So it could very well be one or the other. So we'll get neither. And the show will be a disappointment. But and you got to remember, too, after this, 2 weeks away from Your Mummy is a Skank.
Yeah.
So you're...
Well, heel reigns in that. Again, if he wins that, and then Lesnar wins the title, the babyface, again, makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You could even have him cash in at WrestleMania and beat Lesnar for it again. That gives Lesnar the belt. That means he's being screwed by both guys from the Shield with the Money in the Bank and... keeps him a guy who's not on the roster, mm-hmm. not with the belt. There's a lot of... I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's lots of ways you can go with it.
Yeah.
My most anticipated match on this show. Champion versus champion.
As far as match I want to see, for sure.
Kevin Owens.
No titles on the line.
No, just champion versus champion.
Mm-hmm.
Owens and Cena. Even if you look at this picture that they've got, like, just... Look at Cena. I mean,
he looks like a dork.
So old. He does. He looks like a. He looks
let me give
like,
you some veteran advice.
Yes, let me give you some veteran advice.
Yes.
He's so old. But no, I mean, this is a great dynamic. It's been a great.
They're high on Owens.
Bill.
It's a short build, but a great build. Does the whole Samoa Joe play into this in any way? I doubt it.
No.
Like, I just saying what they're doing with him, and does it matter how they'll book him on the main roster with how they book him on the NXT? I don't think so.
Oh, no.
No titles on the line means that either guy can do the job, no problem.
Yes.
So I'm going to say that I don't know if it will happen. I'm hoping it'll happen. I'm hoping this is where the first time in his career, John Cena will make somebody.
What do you mean the first time in his career?
This will be the first time in his career. If he puts over Owens clean, that'll be the first time in his career he's made somebody. Like you talk about this funny because you're like, I love this US title thing, and you're mentioning how he's making people every week. I'm like, well, he's having competitive matches every week. He's elevating people every week. He isn't making people. There's a difference between elevating somebody and making them.
That's true.
Hunter has made, in his whole career, what, two people?
Yes. Orton and Batista.
Okay, maybe three. I wasn't even thinking Orton. I was thinking Cena. And even
he didn't make
Cena. You're right, he was probably late to the party. Yeah. It was Batista, really, and maybe Orton, maybe Shawn, sort of, on the way back, sort of, not really.
He made Shawn?
Not really.
Hunter made Shawn? Have you been reading Hunter's book?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and that was probably, I'm going to say, Nassau Coliseum shutting down here on that was probably the best SummerSlam, or the best event ever I can think of in Nassau Coliseum. One of the best SummerSlams in history. It was that SummerSlam, and that was in Nassau.
Which one was that now? The Highway to Hell?
No. The Edge, it was Rock Brock Hunter Shawn.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. That is, yes, 2002.
Yeah.
That's right. That was
probably, I think, the best event in the history of Nassau Coliseum that I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, he has never... Like, think about it. Young guys coming up get to John Cena, and I don't care if it's Bray Wyatt or fucking The Miz or Wade Barrett or even Rusev now. Not a single one of them has ever come out of it a bigger star. Everybody else has always come out of it and gone right to the mid-card or opening match.
Yep.
This Dolph Ziggler.
Punk?
I think Punk was established by the time he took him on.
But Punk made himself.
It wasn't Punk made himself, yeah.
You know, with the pipe bomb.
With the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Punk made himself.
Happened to be against John Cena, but...
But it wasn't Cena who made it. Yeah, exactly. It was Vincent. Like, in his entire career, I think of all these guys who we're talking about. So this is definitely the time for John Cena to lose clean and make this guy a star. And I blame Hunter for keeping people down Fuck, I don't blame John Cena for keeping people down. No. I think he'd be willing to do it, and they just don't book him that way because they've always felt like they have to protect him. Much like Sting in TNA, never put anybody over. Fucking, I never blamed Sting. No. I don't think it was that he didn't want to. It's that they kept on going, he's our legend. We got to keep him strong. Whereas he was at the point where he could have lost and it wouldn't hurt him. Like a Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair, which is where John Cena is.
Well, and
he's like a Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair. He could lose. It's not going to hurt him at all.
Here's the example that I'll use of that. You're right. They were protecting. He's got to be our guy. Now he's not their guy.
No.
And so basically what they're saying is, and this is how the booking has been, or the gimmick, everything, is it's basically them going, like, so John, like, what do you want to do? This is what he's being booked at now. Like, what do you want to do, John, with this? This U.S. Open Challenge thing and everything he's got? This is John Cena booking his own shit here.
Basically. Yeah, and you know what?
And he's booking his own shit to say, let's have competitive matches. Okay, let's elevate.
But even before he did this, remember he had a great competitive match probably a year and a half ago with Cesaro?
Yeah.
This was like after Cesaro was... This is what Cesaro was just before he went with Heyman. Had this incredible match with him, like 4.5 stars on Raw.
Yeah.
It should have made the guy, elevated him. It didn't, because next week you don't follow up on it.
Right.
And again, like I say, I don't blame him, but I mean, I'm trying to think of other young guys that have come up and faced him. I'm sure there's been others.
Wade Barrett was Nexus.
Yeah. Like, nobody has ever come out of a feud as a fresh guy, a superstar with John Cena.
Right.
That I can think of.
And so when we're talking...
So it's time. It's fucking time.
Is it Vader time?
It's Owen's time.
But I think... Just to exacerbate your point, you can go blind doing that, you know. But
this is exactly why you fear it's not going to happen.
Yes.
Because they book him and protect him so much.
He can even beat Cena. Well, no, he can beat Cena. But then what do they do with him next week?
Yeah.
A week after.
Yeah.
A week after. That's how the thing is. He can get a win over, and I think he will.
Yeah. Actually, I could say in some ways, Sean or John has made Brock Lesnar. The way he lost at SummerSlam, though, I guess you can't, because, I mean, fucking, he already beat Undertaker.
Yeah, he'd already...
And he beat him in the first match.
He
beat him in the first match of Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Short term, he helped keep the rise. Again, that's a bit of an elevation.
It's an elevation.
But then you had the next month, the match, right? Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, but then that's... Then it was screw job time, right?
We've talked about it before. Sheamus is another young guy who came in who wins the title on
in a
table match as a fluke. Doesn't actually get elevated by Cena.
Right.
It's happened. But I think the Ryback was another one. There was no reason for the Ryback not to beat him. Right. Tell you the truth, when they feuded, except for their, it was setting up, I guess, the Cena... Rock thing, but the Bray Wyatt's the biggest one. There was no reason Bray Wyatt shouldn't have won at WrestleMania last year. Then he won the next month, and nobody gave a fuck. And then the following month, in the third match in the trilogy, Cena won, and nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah,
sometimes I don't blame John Cena.
No,
I didn't blame Sting. It's the same thing.
Same idea, and that's what I said. That's where
it's
their
booking.
I think
this is the time where it doesn't hurt Cena, makes the other guy.
Yeah.
It's not titles.
It's interesting to me. And again, this goes back to, like, the world.
They are high enough on, I think it could be, I've heard, and they've done this before where they were saying, I've heard this before where this guy's going to win, this guy's going to win, this guy's going to win. Then day of the event, Vince goes, oh, John Cena's going to win. He's our man. And so it's very possible they've been thinking Owens this whole time booking this. And the day of, Vince is just going to go, he's not ready. Or he's got to be John's our man. Or he still sells the most merchandise. Like, so who knows? Which does make it fun to watch. Because we don't know. I could see both guys.
The other thing that
bet right now, I'd say 60%. I'd say, well, my top bet would be double disqualification or double count out or something like that. Right?
Yeah.
That would be my biggest. Much like the Joe and Owens. That would be my big... If it's a winner, I would... And it could still be like a count-out winner or a DQ winner. But if there's a clean winner, sort of clean or whatever, I would think probably Owens by something like pulling the tights or feet on the ropes. Something
point,
like that.
But the point of this match,
but,
here's the thing.
60% of me would say John Cena.
Here's, here's,
40% would say Owens wins that way.
Here's the other
but that's thing. Not what he needs to do. He needs to fucking beat him, beat him.
No.
Not a fucking banana peel beat him. Not a cheat to beat him. He needs to beat him, beat him.
Yes, I know. But this is the other thing, though, is that they've got this shot. Who does Cena face next? So who runs down and interferes in this match to set up John Cena's next opponent?
Well,
that's the other way that this could go,
and that would suck. And there's nobody there's nobody on the roster for him right now.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that that's
nobody.
Orton,
fuck no.
Oh no, you know what? We, you know who we haven't seen in a while? The
Big Show.
Show.
If they do that, if they do that,
that would be
look,
awesome.
Here's what: if they do that, I'm gonna pull my cock out and I'm gonna hit your fucking TV screen with it. To give it the type of dirty germs that would make it stop working.
My phone has video. Okay.
Oh. Make sure it's a wide screen.
Why? Oh, yeah, it's a big TV. But I think there's so many different ways that this could go. Like I said, I mean, it should be Owens winning. It's the dynamic too, given this whole new world that we're in, as we've been talking about for this whole show, is the whole new world that we're in is also a one in which is the NXT champion on Raw every week for a while.
That's true too.
You know, because he ain't losing it to Joe, and if they're gonna call him up, does he lose it? He can lose it to Balor.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then you also then blow the Owen. You have to peel off Samoa Joe somehow if he's staying or what. That's an X factor.
There's so much.
Right? So much in play that you know when we say card subject to change or plans change, like never been true because there's so many variables in play right now.
Yeah.
So you could do that. I mean, you could transition the NXT title over to Balor and have Owens come up. I mean, if that's what you're wanting to do. So that's interesting as well. It's funny the order that they're doing them.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Then we get the triple threat chick match. Who cares?
Well, I'm just going to say, no, I mean, I hope Naomi or Paige wins because Bayley, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks,
the four horsewomen.
Yes, any one of them I think can have a really good match with either Paige, especially Paige, or also with Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki and Brie are both useless. So, unfortunately, this is probably going to feature Tamina and like all that outside. Maybe Emma ends up with Paige for fuck's sake, so she can also have a second person who's a tweener or something. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah. I think that. I think Naomi should win this. I think it's her time. I thought she should have won last month. But
well, when she came out in that with those shoes,
yeah.
I was immediately cheering for her. I made her a baby face in my book.
Right, let's go shoes. Let's go shoes.
We want that chant.
Yeah.
If you're going to the arena, try and get that going. Let's go shoes.
Let's go shoes.
With the glasses she was wearing, her and Sasha could be. They both have those crazy glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got Neville
look at him.
Bo Dallas. Good for Bo Dallas. I hope he gets a bit of a mini push again. It's not like a complete joke. Just as I know he's never going to be a fucking superstar until he maybe joins with Bray.
Yeah.
Because I think that's happening. That could even happen here. Though I doubt you do both angles on both
I don't think
things.
You do it here. Obviously, Neville gets the win.
So I do think Neville, but my thing is in NXT they have some really good matches. So I hope they give him some time and they get that really good match, and hopefully it shows how good Neville is to have that match with Dallas, and it shows that Dallas still has some potential if he can carry his own part. That's my hope.
Yeah, that's true. I do hope both.
And they're both young guys. I think they're both talented, and I'd like to see them do well. And we need some fresh blood, and I don't want to see everybody a fucking joke in the roster.
Well, no, exactly. And then if he can take that and be more than R-Truth, than R-Truth, you know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, if you ask me, who would I rather see on my TV every week, R-Truth or Bo Dallas? It's Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay. Next match?
That's it.
Oh.
That's the card.
All right.
Hey, it's Bo Dallas.
It's Bo Dallas. Well, he's our buddy.
He is our buddy. Friend of the program.
I think that's it, eh?
I think... Let me see. Oh. Fuck Kane.
Fuck! Fuck off!
And...
I gotta see a doctor about that twitch.
You do. You do. It's like a 7-year twitch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That looks to
be... The 7-year itch is what I have.
Huh? Oh. I thought that was lice.
I hope it's only lice.
Yeah. That would be good. Down where?
Down there.
But I think that's going to do it for another wacky... This has probably been the wackiest week.
We'll be back. We're watching Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah. We're going to watch the Chamber.
And then we're going to watch Money in the Bank 2 weeks later.
Yes,
we are. So as much as I have trouble slogging through the 3 hours of Raw, I'll be watching some WWE and following for sure pretty tightly right now.
Oh, we be doing some slogging.
Yep.
Let me just go here to... shows. I'm just curious. We got Money in the Bank. We have Battleground.
Wow. So we finally have a break.
I want to know when. July 19th.
July 19th. Okay.
Jesus.
So where's it coming from?
Who gives a fuck?
No, actually, from St. Louis.
The Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri.
Missouri.
So... Yeah, no, I'm just curious, because I thought maybe you do the thing, and then you've got, you know, whatever, 6 weeks between that, or a month or so without, but no Battleground is there. I thought they were going to turn Battleground in the Chamber, but I guess not. But, yeah, holy
no, obviously
shit.
Not, no. I wonder around what they'll do. Yeah. It's just another B-show.
Oh, it'll
I hope they do more of these. It makes the product, for me, better, because Raw's not important, but this is.
Well, and with the butthole ground,
yeah,
that then could tell me that you push the Kane thing off to the your mummy is a skank, and then you got to...
Depends on whether or not, yeah, it depends on a lot, right? And, but then
you got Battleground, and then you can move to over to the Summerfest and have a bigger match.
The Summerfest.
Yes.
I did like that with the Entourage guys.
Yeah, Jeremy Piven would be here, but he's getting ready for Summerfest.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was good. I also liked how they'd rather spend time with Zack Ryder than the chicks.
Well, yeah.
They're like, excuse me, ladies, nice to meet you. We got to go hang out with Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Because it's 2012.
Yeah.
Alicia said, the producer, she goes, who? When he gets announced.
Remember when Zack Long Island IZ was... taking off, how you and I were having the debate about who would you rather have, Cody or Zack Ryder? Both are 25.
Yeah.
Who do you want? Who would you rather have?
Yes.
Turns out neither one of them.
Neither one. Although Cody is feuding with the Green Arrow.
Ah, yes, that's interesting.
Is it?
I hope he shows up on this show. That would be great. All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right.
I also had KFC, so
that's true.
I need to make a run.
We talked about the twit. The twit machine there, at We Talk Wrestling.
We gave it all already. Addy, ADDIE.
Yeah.
At We Talk Wrestling.
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. We are on iTunes.
At We Talk Wrestling.
Stitcher.
Stitcher. We're gonna try and get on Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify. TuneIn Radio app. TuneIn Radio app. Yeah. Show me.
Yeah. Our own website, WeTalkWrestling.com.
WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yeah.
That's a great place to go. Love that site.
Yeah.
Love that site. And Spotify. So.
And Show Me.
And Show Me. And what was the other one that we had there? Yeah. The Canadian bullshit version?
Show Me?
No, the other one.
RDO.
RDO. There you go.
It's not Canadian. It's from like San Jose or something.
Really?
Yeah.
That's still bullshit. I've been there. Who'd they ever beat?
This year, nobody.
Nobody. Never, actually.
Yeah.
That's why they don't have a coach.
Yeah, true. All right.
But in the meantime, and motherfucking in between time.
Motherfucking.
That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Are we off the air?
We are off the air.
Oh, good. Good, good. I think next week you should apologize for what you called Dixie Carter.
What's that?
Twit.
A twit. I will apologize.
Or maybe it was a twat.
No, she's she is a cunt. But I won't apologize for that. facts are facts.